Welcome, lovely listeners, to the Stories, Fables, Ghostly Tales podcast. I have my Russian caravan tea in hand. Oh yes, I'm going to need it for this strong finale today. This is the last part of One Drop at a Time, and I promise you it won't disappoint. I wonder if any of you smart listeners have figured it out yet, or what the ending could be. Well, far be it for me to keep you waiting. Let us begin The End of One Drop at a Time by Kyle Brandt and Trevor Underwood. Turn those lights off, the sound up, and get ready for a murder mystery. Our next chapter, Resolution. Abruptly waking up, Brandt found himself in a sweat, wiping away the beads dripping from his forehead as he saw to his horror that there was blood upon his head. Running to his bathroom, he stared at the mirror in horror as the letters RIFO was smeared along his reflection. His head began to spin, the world seemingly without borders or lines, everything breaking away as he tried to discover how this was happening. He slapped himself, furiously trying to awake from what he swore had to be a nightmare. Barely hearing the noise from outside the living room, Brandt stumbled out to witness Underwood throwing himself through the doorway, blood covering just as much as him. He held his hands up, seemingly trying to disarm the detective's manic state.
"Stay calm, Brandt. I need you to stay calm. I can explain everything."
"I need no explanation," Brandt exploded. "Murderer! I can't believe I trusted you." At that, he threw his body against the detective, the two men rolling on the ground as Brandt swung at his partner wildly. "The late nights, the setups, leading me on like a damn puppy."
"What are you talking about?"
Underwood retorted. "You need to get a grip, Brandt." A strong hook cut the detective's words off. "You even had me attacked."
"You need to listen."
Underwood's thunderous voice rang out, throwing Brandt off of him with a solid kick, spitting some loose blood out while standing.
"Because,"
the detective began, sadness in his eyes,
"it was not me."
Brandt wiped his arm across his brow, looking up at the towering man.
What do you mean? Like some kind of possession?"
"I think you know exactly what I mean. Yes.
Isn't it clear yet?" A strange voice whispered inside Brandt's head, one he knew could not be his own. "I left so many clues for you, yet you still play dumb, don't you?" Brandt shook his head, regaining his feet but still stumbling as he walked towards the bathroom again.
"It can't be. The evidence. You were...
"I don't believe you."
"Think, Brandt,"
Underwood said, trying to calm his partner.
"Think back to all the scenes. Do you remember anything? Anything familiar?"
The detective scratched his neck, holding tightly to his head as it began to throb.
"No, I mean, the deaths, graffiti."
"I know it's hard, but you have to try."
"Liar, you bastard." Underwood slowly followed his partner, taking care to watch his step and for any sudden movements Brandt might be taking.
"The girl from the hotel. Her name was Elisa."
"I know. I already had my informant find that."
"Did he mention she was also part of the depression help group that you went to? The one for those in danger of suicide?"
Brandt shook his head. "No. But why the fuck would she be in a shooting help group?" Underwood stood up, a bit surprised.
"You honestly still can't believe it was for the shooting?"
"Of course. Why wouldn't it be?"
The detective's face was crestfallen.
"The accident, Brandt. Do you remember the accident?"
"What accident?"
Brandt asked, trying to shake the voice from his head.
The accident, silly.
That perfect, uncontrollable fate that hatched me."
"Shut up!"
Underwood continued.
the accident with Shannon, your fiancé.
Shannon. Images became blurred around the detective. As Brant's world moved in and out of focus.
The car wreck. The one that took her. The one that sent you into depression. You were on suicide watch, Brant. I should have realized how hard this was for you before it got like this.
Stop lying!
Brant bellowed.
You are the murderer. The cut on your hand, the planned hit, the goddamn book!
Underwood shook his head.
Elisa was in the group, the jewelry store. I should have known then. Brant, this is where you bought the engagement ring. I was with you that day.
Brant tried processing all the words, but only felt like puking. Then what about the skinned face? Or the hits?
He was a known drunk driver. That is how you lost Shannon, Brant. A drunk hit and run. As for the attacks, think about it. You called me only 15 minutes before the hit. Only one of us could have known where we both would be at that time. Someone who set the whole thing in motion.
Finally, some recognition.
Shut up!
Brant screamed, as Underwood stopped in place. Then, why hide the book from me? Underwood looked down.
The ink, Brant. It was the same that smeared your left hand. You must have been using that hand to write in the journal. All I wanted to do is get it away before someone else made the connection.
Why? Brant almost pleaded. Why hide that? Why from me?
I wanted to be absolutely sure. But I couldn't ignore the facts any longer after tonight.
Brant turned back, throwing up slightly on the side of the hall before finding the bathroom again. Screams echoed lightly at the back of his mind, the feeling of warm pooling liquids in his hand as he remembered the knife in his hand. The woman's perfume.
The jig seems up.
The voice whispered, Brant now facing the mirror once more.
Why?
Brant barely spoke. I wanted your attention, of course, Brant. This was all for you, my love. Yet you were always so slow. Always one step behind. Even when everything was right in front of you. Brant stared blankly at the mirror, the letters now drying on the glass, his heart stopping for a moment. He punched his reflection, breaking the mirror apart and tearing the pieces off the wall, finding a hidden recess behind the frame. Taking his shaking hand, he moved it into the spot, finding a scalpel alongside some used spray paint cans, some bloodied clothes, and finally, a diabetic tester with a retractable needlepoint, one that he recognized as his former fiancée's. The memories came flooding in all at once, like a horrible movie on loop, some images contorting the beautiful thoughts he once had for his beloved. His face twitched, a light chuckle breaking the silence before becoming a hearty laugh. Brant slowly turned to face the detective, wiping the blood away from his brow.
Tell me, detective, he spoke in a dry, controlled voice. When did you realize it?
After the attacks.
Underwood answered just as dryly, knowing he was not talking to his partner.
I should have known it wouldn't have taken much. Unfortunately, you rushed me. You know, a part of me has always admired you. Did you catch my special love note?
The you? Once the message became clear, the puzzle was not very thought out.
Right in front of Underwood. I thought it was a clever addition. For fun, that is. In that moment, Brant hurtled forward, pulling up a knife he had withdrawn from the secret deposit. Underwood met him at full blow, hitting the ground hard and receiving a gash along his side.
The two continued to struggle. Underwood grabbing hold of his sidearm as he tried detaining his partner, still hesitant to hurt him. The man proved strong, however, while Brant was able to turn the blade over and only inches away from the detective's throat, whose arm was the only thing resisting the final blow. His free hand had the gun pointing at Brant's side, the desperation growing heavier and heavier, much like the hand about to take his life. Struggling, he saw Brant's eyes tear above him, his mouth almost forming the words that he knew he had to follow. Please, as his grip tightened, Underwood, and the resounding boom left his partner still upon his own frame. You have been here nearly every 5 minutes you've got, Detective. Underwood stood before a two-way mirror, not taking his eyes off the contents of the room before him.
I just wanted to make sure he is all right.
That one there has been busy at it, rearranging everything this way and that, taking his meds as ordered, the doctor said, shaking his head. Shame, really. Such a great mind going to waste. Underwood watched as Brant sat in the padded room, a special unit for the criminally insane within physiatrist. After pulling some strings, he was able to arrange a private room and therapist for his former partner. Using the fact of all other credited deeds he had on record for the force. He saw the man connecting some duplex boxes here and there, arranging playing cards with missing hands alongside the practically empty dollhouse, apparently in a random order. Upon his request, these items were offered to him slowly over time and proven cooperation. But Underwood knew better. Though Brant had made admitted progress, he was still nowhere near well, as his counterpart proved, arranging the toys before them. I gotta say, Detective, the doctor continued, it's kind of bumming seeing a man waste all his time watching some crazy play with toys all day.
He isn't crazy, Underwood replied flatly. And he is certainly not playing. He is leaving himself clues, trying to lure his subconscious to see a way to break out of here.
The doctor joined Underwood at the window, peering in. You think he will? Underwood remained silent, however, instead, watching his best friend proceed with his games, trying to remain one step ahead of it, while watching him fight to win over his demons, hoping that above all else, that Brant would be able to solve this one final case in the end. And that concludes One Drop at a Time. But as I always love with Kyle Brant's stories, there are author notes. So let's get to them. Kyle Brant. Hey y'all, hope you enjoyed this collaboration between published author Trevor Underwood and I. It was quite the task for us and sometimes frustrating. Between computer mix-ups and crashes, as well as both of our busy normal jobs, we did have fun coming up with the idea. I essentially made the skeleton and tendons, and Trevor made the muscles and skin. Trevor Underwood is already published with his Saint of Shadows, When the Bells Toll. If you enjoyed this piece, please check it out. Trevor and I have known each other for years now, and are practically brothers. SFGT gave me a platform to start my writing, but the true inspiration came from Trevor, and hopefully we can all look forward to more Saint of Shadows in the future, as well as some hidden gems only him and I have talked about. Maybe I can convince him to turn a couple in a year to SFGT. Look forward to more from us in the future, as I do love collaborating with him myself. And mate, I do look forward to more of your stories. And even Trevor Underwood, if he's up for it. And that's what this platform is all about. I can't get enough of listeners turning into authors, or even listeners sending in their stories. I remember, Kyle, the very first story that you sent in, the Japanese story about the underwater plague. Not only was it really, really cool and original, but I had a feeling that that wouldn't be the last time I heard from you. And I'm so glad you decided to pursue writing. Because look at this, it's absolutely fantastic. And I can't wait for more. So thank you both again, Kyle Brandt and Trevor Underwood for this fantastic story. And tomorrow, I'm thinking I'll dig my teeth into a lovely creepypasta. Tasty, delicious creepypastas. So stay with me then to finish off this week, and next week I'm going to blast through some listener stories. I absolutely love them, and I've been meaning to get to them for quite some time. So stick with me for some more creepy and original stories. Also, no matter what platform you're on, if you can subscribe, that helps immensely. So what does it mean when you actually subscribe? Beyond getting reminders or notifications from me on your platform regarding new episodes, you also help the podcast and the authors on the podcast reach more lovely listeners. So every subscribe, every click, every review helps. And for those of you that do, I am eternally grateful. And I've been seeing the iTunes reviews go up and up and up, and I have nothing but you awesome listeners to thank. So thank you. And on that note, lovely listeners, it is that time. This is the place where stories live, and you tale tellers come to listen. Enjoy your day or night, and join me every weekday for our creepy tradition. And as always, till next time.